Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others, would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten. My truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, as he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed, when indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to the light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah.
Yes, well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, we are back again. It's been a minute. But we are back again, my brothers and sisters, for another episode. Yes, another very, very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Ed Emiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity to be back with you to speak these very precious words. Granted from on high, my brothers and sisters, proves that for many, many centuries and generations, this world, so many ways, has sought to ignore, hide, deny, pervert, silence, and if they could, to destroy. Long story short, my brothers and sisters, this time around, those of you who have heard my words before, I said, those among you who have heard my words before know that, I spend a lot of time, oftentimes, relating fundamentals. Yes, I will be relating a few fundamentals today, perceptions that many in a pluralist, polytheist world, that many, after Western polytheist thought forms, I'll be relating a lot of concepts to those who have not known the most ancient precepts of Eastern monotheism. I will be relating concepts that many of them might not yet be aware. However, this is a very important time, so I will be continuing on this time, relating principles, my brothers and sisters. I said relating principles and relating concepts, of which many might not be aware. However, I will cite verses and scripture that they might search these things out for themselves, that they might also check the archives, because this will be archived. I'm looking here to see, because this is going to be a simulcast. I said I intend for this to be a simulcast, both on... on Blog Talk Radio and on the Clubhouse app. And those of you who are not familiar with the Clubhouse app, to have heard this before, seen and listened to some of my shows before on Blog Talk Radio, I'm talking about the Clubhouse app that can be downloaded from your Play Store or wherever you get your apps from, on Android and iPhone, and Club Dick for those who would like to give attention to this on PC. It's called Club Dick, an app called Club Dick. Relatively recent, but effective towards the goal we have at hand. I'm going to say some things that may sound shocking to many. I'm going to speak about a lot of things that are not given consideration, and because they haven't been consideration. There have been many, I'll just tell it out like it is, misconceits, aberrant misconceptions, a lot of deceptions in the world. It must be overcome. So I have to speak about those things that quite frankly, not everyone is aware, but needs to be known. I will speak about a lot of these things as if the illusion never existed. Oh, yes. It is a blessing from on high when the Most High grants you to see from times of old, even from the times of the prophets, whereby these truths were told and the misconceits we see today didn't even exist. I will speak of many times today in that regard. And I pray the Most High that He grants those who have a most willing heart, that He will grant them capacity to keep up, to comprehend. Because the truth, my brothers and sisters, must now be known. He told me long ago, some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. Every lie, every hasty conclusion that men have believed has been an obstacle against discerning the greatest dimension of truth. He told me that in seeking Him, we all must, if we are wise, understand the meaning of this prayer. Father, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I need to know. I don't know what all it is that has crept into my mind that has acted as an obstacle against my understanding. But this one thing, Father, I do know, and that is that You know. And if You won't tell me, or if You don't tell me, I won't know. But I will still say this, my brothers and sisters, woe on the soul. I would choose to presume and would prefer to believe that a lack of knowledge is an excuse. My brothers and sisters, we who would be true to the covenant must know. We are commanded to seek Yah. Let me repeat that. We are commanded to seek Yah, even knowing that this whole world could very well be deceived and is deceived not to perceive all that men must receive. We must know this. And outside of this, there is no faith faithful unto Yah. Unless we know, we must seek Him beyond all else. I will tell you now that anyone who seeks like a sycophant, to seek to flatter, who seeks comradeship after the common stasis of status quo common to men, will not understand and will not be able to harness the wisdom of this testimony. Again, I will speak this evening as if the illusions never existed. And I will seek to explain the vision the Most High has granted me. Void the misconceits I see so often common to man. When I say sycophants, my brothers and sisters, that by definition is someone who will seek the camaraderie with men, who will seek to flatter the diverse ideologies of men, the oftentimes prideful institutions of man that seem to have authority. They seem to have influence among men. I will tell you right now, I have no intention whatsoever to compromise after the variant ideas of the many. That's not what the Most High called me to do. For indeed He did tell me that I must tell you things. Indeed, I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And if they could to destroy. There are those who may not cotton to someone who stands out to do such a thing. But I will tell you now, the Most High is not compromised, nor is he defined by the varying misconceits. Yes, I said misconceits, common after the imaginations of men. There are fundamental truths, my brothers and sisters. I said fundamental truths that every soul that would seek Yah must come to know. And one of those fundamental truths is that the Most High is as he is forever. His will, his plan does not change. His vision does not change. Because men have chosen us so often not to see it. Romans 2:29-3-4 says, if the whole world be deceived, the whole world did not believe. The whole world is disobedient. If the whole world is led astray, my brothers and sisters, the Most High will still yet be true to that which he has decreed. Even if a whole world does not believe, even if a whole world does not consider, hey, there's a reason why the scriptures tell us that when the Most High brings to bear the majesty of his plan, most people, except for a very rare few, will be caught completely off guard. It shall happen suddenly, as in an instant, unexpected by the masses, but quite frankly, because they were under rulers who did a piss poor job. Call it what it is. They did not know what was upon them. I want to say this, my brothers and sisters, please understand. Please understand, we all held accountable. Matthias, they call it Matthew. See someone with their hands raised. But we have a few things to say. Just hang on. And I don't usually respond to somebody who just gives up a phone number with all ones, you guys. But long story short, it's always been true. I said always been true. The divisions of this world being partial and tainted testimonies could not be true to the will of the One Most High. Could not be true. It is perfect will. And quite frankly, even if a whole world chooses to desecrate the holy name after somebody else's ideas, Most High had confirmed from the very beginning. I said the Most High has confirmed from the very beginning what he has envisioned, his promise, his plan. Man was created. I will say this quickly. Man, simply stated, was created to resonate only the mind and thoughts of his maker. Please understand. And I see somebody here who wants to, again, who has their hand raised with a series of ones. Not sure I should answer that one. Because I'd like to see a real phone number up here. Hey, I want to deal with the gremlin. Want to be real. So let us consider, my brothers and sisters. Let us be wise. I've often talked in previous shows. Some of you who are familiar with what I post on Facebook, for instance, would be aware of what I often speak about on Clubhouse. Must be aware that I've often said that the entire, let me repeat this, the entire present world religious industry at this present time is based in its perpetuation. Did you hear me? Is based in its perpetuation upon people choosing to entirely ignore what Messiah said, what the prophet Daniel said, what the apostles said, was occurring in the first century AD, even before the turn of the second century. A great falling away, my brothers and sisters, that occurred And even though many know the scriptures that talk about in Micaiah 24 concerning the coming fall of Jerusalem, which did occur in 70 AD, many have not understood or taken fully into consideration what that meant. I said what that meant to those who were there in that time. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know something. Jerusalem in the first century was considered the gathering place for the unity of the faith. If we read through Acts in the second chapter, we will find people coming from all over the areas of the Nearer East, the Levant, some call it, and territories of Rome. Those who were proselytes, converts, not necessarily of Israeli seed, and I can prove that too, because if you read those scriptures, it talks about that when they, by the Spirit, began to speak in tongues, the wonderful or the inspired words of Yah, many people said the wonders believe they were drunk with new wine. Well, I want you to read back to those scriptures for yourself sometime. And it called them, wanted to call some of those who wanted to mock and call them Galileans. Well, let's say this to end some illusions. They called them Galileans because the Galilee was a territory in which there were many people of variant previous orientations. Even if you want to talk about creeds, want to talk about, call it that color. Because it had been, through the course of time, much, let's just say, interplay upon the land from people from various nations, especially in the territory that was called the Galilee. And it even talked about Messiah himself being a Nazarene. Where's Nazareth? Where's Nazareth? It's in the Galilee. And it talked about people from all nations receiving that spirit and relating the idea of the promise of Yah is not only those who are the tribes of Israel, but it says, frankly, even unto the all them unto whom Yah shall call. Oh, I want to talk a bit more about that because, you know, I find it very, very interesting that there are so many who don't really realize that the book of Malachi, when it talks about Esau per se, don't really realize that the Most High is actually reproving Israel as well. One of the things that Esau did was that Esau started to be an obstacle against Israel attaining to the conscience ultimately necessary or even the pathway to enter into the land. Well, I see a lot of folks in Israel today, yes, who call themselves Israel today, who are standing against our people discerning the fullness of the divine vision are every bit as guilty as was Esau. I just ask that you would read through the book of Malachi to discover better what I'm talking about here. Because, quite frankly, I know. And if you read Genesis 17 through 18, you'll find that Abraham was called for the blessing of all nations. And the scriptures even go as far as to say all the families of the earth. Wow. All the families of the earth. That means not necessarily them of immediate Abrahamic seed, but wherever it is that men might hear the word of the Most High and respond rightly. There are those on Clubhouse that, though I'm when I speak about these things, will seek to simply say that Eddie does not know what he's talking about. I would just simply say that many of these are those who have been duped. Not to consider or not to see all that in the scriptures is written. It's time we do better than that. And this is just a formative thing that I wanted to talk about. Yeah, these are just some of the formative things that I wanted to talk about. Because quite frankly, if anyone believes himself that he is so wise, that he would want any soul to remain blind. So self-righteous that he was, and so vindictive that he want any soul to be wise, let's just say kept blind, that the Most High would call. I would tell you that soul is not worthy. Now, there are those who immediately will be alienated by that phrase that I just made, but I have to be real. Please understand, my brothers and sisters. And I'll call out the scripture, Genesis 12 and 3. So I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That means reconciled unto the will of one. Abraham knew, I repeat, Abraham knew that the only hope of peace was that all nations be, or at least given the opportunity to be reconciled unto the will of one, reconciled, made one as the pure, perfect will of the one. No other hope for peace than this. Genesis 17 through 18, we'll find that Abraham prayed even for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah while Israel was dying. We're not yet a nation. Isaiah 55, my brothers and sisters, and I just want to get through this quickly because I have a lot to talk about today. Isaiah 55 says the Messiah's return, he would tell Israel that he called them to be a light, an invariant light of wisdom to all the nations. An invariant light to all the nations. He spoke to Israel saying, your thoughts have not, but your thoughts have not been like my thoughts. You've not cast aside every one of your so-called wicked ways and thoughts. Your thoughts have not been like my thoughts. Your ways not like my ways, but they should have been. Did you hear me? They should have been. Messiah, in effect, said also these words. Is it not so written in your law that ye, it really means should be godly, should be true unto Yah? And there are many that sought to persecute him because he said that he had seen a higher sense of vision from on high for the blessing of his people. I find it sad, my brothers and sisters, that there are those today, if you would even speak about having a vision from the Most High, even though it can be verified, so many things that are said true to the initial vision, there are those who choose to ignore simply because they want to stay true, if you want to call it true, conform, associate with a corruptly opposed and contentious, divisive, worldly status quo. Faith, my brothers and sisters, means that you must seek Yah beyond all else to be faithful to one. And the grace and the favor of Yah is not to those who seek to contaminate or pollute his name or ideals after the ideas of another. When the scripture says, not under the law, but under grace, the scriptures talk about the law of sin and death, and it talks about the law of spirit and life. It means that those who the Most High calls by faith to be faithful unto him have favor that they learn the truth to exceed the misgivings of a world entire. In the book of Galatians, I could talk about this really quickly, but I want to talk about so much more. In the book of Galatians, it said, did you receive the Spirit for those who did? By works after, get me now, worldly status quos, is what he meant there. Or by obedience to faith, knowing that even amongst the heathen, it must be known that there's no such thing as a hope for peace after a multitude of contentious oppositions. Or obedience to faith, knowing that Yah is one and that he is Savior to make man whole, pure and complete unto one vision. Faith, my brothers and sisters, cannot be after what was the variant political, national, social, pseudo-religious oppositions of a polytheist people whose pantheon, multitude of false gods, contentions against one another. Did you receive the Spirit because you trusted in the variant ideas of men because you realize there must be a divine absolute. Oh, that it would be so much better if so many of us understood that the heathen didn't necessarily have a word to relate the difference between divine law, a divine absolute, and the misconceits of man. So they tell folks that somehow by the grace or the gift of Yah, the grace of Yah which reveals the truth and the knowledge of Yah, that you're still supposed to remain subject to the status quo of an errant world. That is not overcoming the world, my brothers and sisters. That's not what it means to be born again. I repeat, that is not what it means to be born again. The scripture talks about being born again. It means, and though you might have been born physically in this world, what did he tell Nicodemus? A man of the spirit discerns all things, though no man discerns him. It's like the wind. No man knows where it comes from or where it goes. What it means, my brothers and sisters, is this. For the man whom the Most High has revealed his plan by his spirit not only discerns the things of this world, discerns also the greater things of Yah. That vision, as revealed by that spirit, we must seek, and quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, not only must we seek it, but we must realize, according to the book of Jacob, the thing they call James, if any man be, let's just say, influenced after a multitude of variant provocations, how about putting it that way? If any man be blinded by a multitude of variant provocations, temptations, influences in this world, oppositions, arguments, grudges in this world, not to seek the pure, perfect will of Yah, those scriptures tell us that if we do not seek to be faithful to one, but be double-minded or in any way disingenuous after worldly biases, not seeking Yah for the fullness of his will, I said the fullness of his pure, perfect will. Those scriptures actually tell us point blank we are not worthy to receive of his spirit, because a double-minded man is unstable and can't mature, can't mature unto the fullness of what is divine righteousness. And the Most High is not about calling people to be half devoted unto him, but to transcend, my brothers and sisters, all the various divisions that men have created, political, national, social, pseudo-religious, against the Maker. The Most High would have us to know the idea of the Messiah related in Yohanan 15:14. When he said, you're my friends, if you do, and the word do means complete. If you seek to fully bring into help, to bring into fruition everything the Most High envisioned, everything that he declared, then are you my friends? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks out here who claim to be Israel that are not the friends of Yah. And spiritually, they are not Israel at all. They would swear by the name of the Most High according to Isaiah 48. But not in truth, nor in righteousness, not seeking the fullness of his will. And I, for one, will not desecrate, nor will I dishonor the name the Most High would give to a people that would be true to him. And I will not desecrate the name of that the ancient patriarch who the Most High gave the name Israel, for his first name was Jacob. I will not desecrate his character, are calling all these variant ideals, misideals that I see amongst us today in all the various camps. I will not bow to any of them. Consider that unholy vision to be what the Most High wants his people to be. I told you I'm not out here to flatter anyone. Fatal flattery is not me. But for those who want the truth, for them will I speak. For them who want the unbiased truth, for them will I speak. Because one thing I do know is this. Even if a whole world does not choose at first to believe, the Most High has a plan to bring this world true to him. And that means if a whole world has to be recognized as in some respect deceived and blind, he has a plan. open again their eyes. And blessed are those who look for that, that they might receive the gift in due time. My brothers and sisters, in the first century, even before the turn of the second century, when Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem, as I said before, they came in to destroy the unity of the faith. The people not having a place that they could come from the midst of all nations to discern together what has Yah wrought, no place to gather together, to come of one accord. That in itself was a falling away from faith, true to the Most High, and that many people henceforth, where they were, under whatever orientations they had, chose to declare their own suppositions. And it was already happening. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? It was already happening, even as Messiah said, in that generation, after the generation that saw him crucified. The book of Daniel in the 9th chapter. I'll go through some of these scriptures in just a minute. Book of Daniel in the 9th chapter speaks about the time when Messiah was crucified and when Rome came in to destroy Jerusalem. And it says desolations will continue. How about a desecration of human conscience will continue until the time appointed, even the time of Messiah comes to restore all righteousness. I want to talk about this, my brothers and sisters. I want to talk about this. Shaul, I'm going to go through these scriptures. Shaul has talked about how the one man they call Paul, even talked about how all the churches in Asia Minor were beginning to turn away from him. 2 Timothy 3:13 said things would get worse and worse. Yehuda, Jude 1:1-4 talked about how the people must seek to contend, to preserve, get the point. The faith that was once, the truth of the Most High that was once delivered to the saints. A lot of scripture here, my brothers and sisters, that speaks about what has occurred. Like I said, Daniel talked about it's only be a short time then that the faith would be preserved. Wow, because it talks about the time from Messiah's passion to the time of Jerusalem being destroyed. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, are ready to give that full consideration? Revelation 2 and 3 talks about he who has ears and hear with the Spirit says to the churches and talks about the angel or the ministers of the church, because that word for minister means messengers. Talking about many things that the leaders of the church would not speak of. Wow. And in the midst of those scriptures, it talks about a need still yet to become perfect before you are. And the only way that's possible, my brothers and sisters, I said the only way that that is possible is that men must, in knowing that this whole world has been confused, seek to hear the voice of Yah himself. That voice is not heard by my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, that voice is not heard by those who will not understand. I once cried out according to what is related in Psalms 2. Heavens declare the glory and honor of Yah. Scripture says, how shall a man turn aside from his stumblings, seeking Yah, his helper and savior, lest evil, fallen standards have dominion over him? I once cried out to the universe. Look at the word universe. One voice. I cried out to the universe concerning the way of peace. And what came back immediately was this. If you want peace, why do you seek to hear another voice? Yes, my brothers and sisters, we're going to have to ask the Most High to help us to see what he has declared above all else. 2 Thessalonians, compared to Isaiah 11, talks about a time of men falling away from the faith. It was already happening at the time. I said it was already happening at the time. Men falling away from the faith because of the intrusions of, it put down, they put down wicked. But the word for wicked is lawless man. Less than lawful. Bringing down the standard, seeking to corrupt it, dividing men against the maker. Causing men to prefer less than all that is righteous, all that is pure and complete before you. Causing the falling away from the faith. Preferring unrighteousness, choosing to believe lies. How about fatal flatteries? Pretenses. And it says it will continue until Messiah comes himself to expose ultimately the pretense. I'm talking about 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter. Lots of scripture that talks about this, my brothers and sisters. And trust me when I tell you that all the apostles, I said all the apostles knew full well the prophecies of the prophets that were before them and knew what was going to be the condition of human conscience in these latter days. There are those who read those scriptures as if a falling away never occurred. And the entire, I repeat, the entire religious industry across this world today is founded upon preserving the illusion. I said preserving the illusion that what people have today after all the influences of the diaspora scattered among the nations. People want to believe that all those various ideas are somehow still true to the voice of one. Anybody who can believe that, my brothers and sisters, just simply does not, or as Pete, simply does not know, yeah, does not know him as he is. My brothers and sisters, I could talk about so many scriptures that relate what the scriptures have to say about the fallen state of mankind today. But there are those who would prefer you believe such a thing has not occurred. That there's not something to prepare for beyond all that you see. They prefer you not to even begin to look. But when the scriptures say the wages of sin is death, how many understand that those words were written to a people who are in the midst of converting to seek after the spirit, the deepest things of Yah? That when the scriptures say the wages of sin is death and shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, many a time, my brothers and sisters, those scriptures saying, shall we continue after the errant misconceits, false ideals, false vision of them who would preserve the divisions of this world against the pure, perfect vision, the plan the Most High declared from the beginning of peace in this world. It would have you not to seek beyond them. It would have you not to seek beyond the rulers who are too greedy and self-righteous to even hope that you would ever open your mind to understand better. Isaiah 56 talks about it. And it says, Paul talks about all your rulers being so greedy after their own agendas that to the very last one, all to the very last one, has been treacherous. And Isaiah 56 and Isaiah 59 both agree. Treacherous against anyone who would seek all that is righteousness. Seeking to make them a prey. Seeking to confuse the masses after vast misconceits. And it said the Most High was not pleased, displeased. Why? No intercessor, no one pleading for a full restoration of what is righteousness. That scripture agrees both in Isaiah 59, and I wanted to go through that scripture a bit, Isaiah 59 and Isaiah 42. Talking about Messiah returning to lead the blind by the ways they knew not. The question is, how many are prepared for what Messiah said was his testimony, for instance, at Yohanan 7 and 7? Say, my testimony is that the works of this world are evil, fallen short, deviant, against the pure, perfect vision the Most High would have for his people. Messiah must return, my brothers and sisters, to prove that, to prove the whole world foolish, that men through him might know their only hope to become wise, even by him who the scripture calls ultimately the restorer of the covenant. I could talk to you, my brothers and sisters, about Isaiah 46, 8 through 15. 13. And what it says is something very shocking. It'd be very shocking for those who are ready to hear it. It says Messiah is going to call all mankind to remember, to consider, Isaiah 52:15, to remember, to consider, to bring again to mind all that for a long time mankind has not considered, has refused to hear, and even not consider, and will call every man a transgressor under sin, under false rule, not his rule, under some pretense, some charlatan, because they would not listen. That is written, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 46:8-13. And I know there are a lot of people that ask the question, how then shall we know? And the appointed time, who it is the Most High has appointed to tell us again what is the truth of his will. Well, my brothers and sisters, I have to ask the question, why haven't the rulers of this earth told you? I can tell you now, and I would ask that many of you check out my website, hiddengospel.com. Articles like the Secret City Prophecies, Early Church Origin, Forgotten Expectation, Secret, the article there called Prophetic Proof, so many others. Search through the articles there, my brothers and sisters. Some 50-odd articles on hiddengospel.com that relate in so many ways, many of them, exactly how Messiah is to appear. And trust me, there's not somebody coming out to crack the sky. One scripture says, Messiah will come forth saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me from the womb. From the body of my mother has he made mention of my name. One thing I will tell you about that name, my brothers and sisters, is quite shocking. That there's some 40 plus, maybe as many as 60 titles encoded in that birth name. Well, if you say, if I told you, my brothers and sisters, that not only that, Messiah's four parents for two generations are also named. The city from whence he must arise is also named in Scripture. Why didn't your leaders tell you about this? Why does the Scripture say in Revelation? I said, why does the Scripture say in Revelation 2:17 and 3:12 and Isaiah 62:2, the Messiah must return with his new name. Because men have profaned everything and every title which previously they have known. I say men have profaned every title which previously they have known. They said the grace of Yah is under lawlessness, totally insane. The grace of Yah is a revelation of divine law. Anybody who still told you otherwise simply does not know Yah and will have to pay the cost, my brothers and sisters. I said, will have to pay the cost. Because Messiah, 11:36, says, every foolish, idle, stagnating word a man speaks, he will come forth in the judgment. You must learn, my brothers and sisters, according to the scriptures, for instance, in Zephaniah 2:15-3:6, Revelation 14, you must learn how not to lie. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, that level of revelation is not from men. You must believe that the Most High is and that he can reveal himself if you will be true to his call. I said, if you will be true to his call to him. So, and I say to these institutions of man, I said to himself, oh, I need to explain, my brothers and sisters, what the scriptures say in the book of Joel. It should come to pass in the last days that all who call upon the name of the Most High shall be saved. And it's to a remnant whom the Most High has called. But my brothers and sisters, the scriptures actually talk about a time. There are those who don't want to talk about the idea about a need to see an exceeding vision. But I will tell you that the book of Joel talks about a time when Most High will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And the question will be, who, upon realizing the truth, will respond rightly? These are the ones who will be made whole, saved, worthy of preservation true unto him. Wow. Some might not want to talk about the idea that the Most High talked about that in the last days, we must see an exceeding vision from him. Wow. A lot of folks want to say they read the words, and they forget that in Hebrew, to read is to read, to receive, if you will. I said to receive. Word ad also means to read. It's to receive the initial vision so that there won't be a multitude of divisions amongst us. Isaiah 20 talks about your leaders having been long time blind, teaching you after what is just merely the perceptual level of carnal men. Men not seeing just how corrupt has been what they have been told. Most not discerning the corruption, because many just simply want to go to a pastor and listen to what he's got to say, and then, hey, don't want to study diligently to show the Most High that you would be diligently humble for the hearing of his voice and would handle the revelation he would give you with integrity. Well, those scriptures talk about, for many, in the last days, in fact, for most all in the last days. The scriptures are like a book that is sealed. Yes, it reads right there in Isaiah 29. It's like a book that is sealed. For one who can read says, I can read it, but it is sealed. And another says, I can not read because I am illiterate. I cannot read. But it talks about a time when, by a wonderful and a marvelous manner, will men see the words of the book. Oh, I wish many of us understood what that meant. We'll discern the vision that the prophet spoke to confirm accurately according to the original mind and thoughts that would be put on paper, because the word for word is more than word in Hebrew. It is a promise. It is a vision, my brothers and sisters. It's the very thoughts of the Most High that he has promised must come to pass. And I promise you, my brothers and sisters, his word, his vision, his promise that he has sent forth will not return to him void, but shall perform everything for which he sent it, no less. Anything that people seek to interject outside that vision that is not part of that which the Most High has decreed from the beginning is to remain, will not persist. That peace to the Most High promise will only come his way. But there are those amongst us who act as if, well, how they see things in their various groupings, camps, rooms, under their various moderators is all that you must see. As if the Savior himself will tell you nothing more than what they unscrupulously in so many ways have perverted far away from the initial divine intent. This hard word, I know, but my brothers and sisters, I would not be your friend if I did not tell you these things. I repeat, I would not be your friend if I did not seek to tell you concerning these things. I like to talk about such things as what the scripture calls the mystery of Yahweh. In Romans 11:25 to 27 to 12 and 2. I said Romans 11:25 to through 27 through 12 and 2. Those scriptures, my brothers and sisters, that are there. Isaiah 59. Yes, they do. And Isaiah 40 through 41. I will give you a synopsis, and then I want to look at these scriptures. And I want to ask you, if you believe the scriptures, do you really believe that with such words that the condition of our people today is solvent and true, having integrity before you? I want you to think about this for a minute. The scriptures talk about, I'm just going to give you the scenario, talk about the mystery of Yah. It says blindness. They say, look, I'm desirous, my brethren, that you should know this mystery. And he was talking to people who were converting. He said, in Romans 11:25-27, said, I'm desirous, my brethren, that you should know this mystery. Whoa. That means it's something that not everybody discerns. It's true that not everyone even wants to see. Sometimes people perform a magic trick and they folks don't always want to look closer to see how it all works. But the scripture tells us in Isaiah 64 that the Spirit would reveal to us even the deep secrets of Yah. If we realize the need to exceed all the variant misideals of all the nations, because trust me, my brothers and sisters, the Most High is greater than all the men after their ordinary flesh. See. Well, in Isaiah 59, from whence we see the scriptures in Romans 11:25-27, speaking of a latter day appearance, the latter day appearance of the Messiah, that must bring an end to all the divisions of the earth, and the world finally seeing his vision. Those scriptures say that let me repeat that scripture. I'm desirous, my brethren, that you should know this mystery. For blindness, in part, has befallen Israel until the times of the Gentiles comes to an end. I know that's not the translation that's in every text when it says until the times of the Gentiles comes to an end. But in Isaiah 60:12, it talks about Israel coming to the pure light of truth again, and the nation that will not conform to this pure vision will perish. So it's talking about the end of this confusion after many nations that have never conformed perfectly to the will of one. And it says a Savior will come out of Zion, out of the flock, the faithful flock that will follow the true shepherd. A Savior, one who make men whole, to see things purely completely. After all that is necessary that we must conform to, cooperate in. And it says, blindness has befallen Israel till the time of the Gentiles come to an end, and a Savior, one who will make men whole, open the eyes of the blind, teach the word that's above all nations. Oh, yes, the gospel is a word of peace, a pure way from on high that's beyond all the partial standards of all the nations. Savior come out of Zion to those who return from transgression in Yaakov. How about turn away from, be converted beyond all the partial and tainted testimonies of the world's entire. One scripture says he will turn ungodliness. How about purge out those who would not seek the fullness of divine will out from the midst of the people? Wow. Well, my brothers and sisters, if it says there's going to be a partial level of blindness, therefore divisions among the people until that time, after some measure of blindness, till that time. And I can quote you a multitude of scriptures that talk about how Messiah said, because people wanted to believe the ideals of men and not his, that it actually scripture says he hid his face. Well, if most of hides his face, do people believe they can see it anyway? Think again. I would say the Most High revealed himself to those who can prove that they would prove that they would walk with integrity according to what is revealed to them. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, that's not everyone. A lot of folks who just simply choose to see and speak according to what they can sell to the masses. But I've heard of more than a few pastors behind closed doors who said such things as the people that if the people will buy it, they will sell it. Hey, proud of that piece of paper they got from a seminary school that just gives them an opportunity to stand in front of a congregation and say, according to men, that they have a right to stand in front of a congregation and teach, and they will sit back, or many of them sit back and teach whatever they can get a paycheck. Now, my brothers and sisters, the people who formed that doggone piece of paper are not true unto Yah. But those who are true to him know that he does not compromise in that way. But this is the world confused, my brothers and sisters. There's a lot of folks out like whoremongering pusher men who want to prey on the weakness of the people. They want to tell them that they've attained something already that not yet have they. Hard words, yeah, I know. And won't even prepare them to be able to see and believe the truth in the time that comes. They don't know what their fate is. I remember long years ago, a couple of years, it'd be 40 years now, And I remember reading that, seeing that scripture that says, I once envied the ways of the wicked, the lawless, those who compromise, hypocrisize the Holy Word. I once envied the ways of the wicked till I saw their end. But knowing the Most High is only going to preserve that which is true unto him. You know, they used to have that old phrase, I see you, but I wouldn't want to be you. I know the Most High would be true to himself. I know the Most High has every intention to be fair to himself. Isaiah 48 talks about the people calling themselves Israel, not of the loins of Judah, but swearing by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Neck like an iron sinew, brow like brass, hard-headed. Who can discern this? Wow. That's the condition of our people today. That's what the scripture is actually saying. Who can discern this? How many of us ready to believe the Messiah is going to turn around and tell folks, no, you have not kept my commandments because you've read my words but didn't seek my immediate instruction. And it wasn't my command that you followed. Saying that from the beginning, from the creation, from the time that it was, there was he. In other words, understanding this word as it was intended from the beginning. And if only people had stayed true. I'm talking about Isaiah 48. There would not be a multitude of about generations of descendants destroyed for lack of knowledge before him. Saying that there cannot be peace, won't be, is not and won't be peace for those who seek anything less than the fullness of cooperation in his will. And the Most High told me straight out, the greatest gift he can give is a law by which men might cooperate with him, love and trust. Nothing less, my brothers and sisters, is going to be acceptable. I repeat, nothing less than that. The Most High has already foreseen is going to be acceptable. For it's not only a promise that the Most High has made to those who be utmost faithful to him, but it's a promise that he made to himself that even defines the very nature of his being, his existence, his character. That these things must be. And he remember, my brothers and sisters, that these things must be. Even for him to be who he is. Nothing less. How is it that for a long time people haven't wanted to know concerning these things? And by the way, a lot of things I'm talking about right now, I mean, some people raise their hands. I can talk about them a bit. I try to use my time best I can. And if anybody has any questions about some of these things, hey, facebook.com/ed.inya. Talk to you there. HiddenGospel.com. Comment section there. Talk to you about those things there. No problem with that. I want to help my people. But I know that our people cannot be helped after a compromise or a set of misconceits. The Most High has not spoken. Cannot be helped by men who seek to confuse, simply work to confuse one another. That's just a fact. And I know that a lot of folks might say that some of the things I'm saying are confusing. No, my brothers and sisters, some of them might consider these things confusing because of what they have not known and because they've been taught a way that the Most High did not speak. Most High told me directly, you should tell them things that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy. And many have there been, but prefer to be part of a worldly status quo. Heaven help us. We prefer to be part of a worldly status quo, willing to forsake everything the Most High has spoken, that they might be quickly understood by men. But let me tell you something. The prophets were always, in many, some space, in many conditions, when you go back and look, were hated, despised, murdered even as Messiah was. Why? Because they saw the greater vision of the Most High than most were unwilling to see. and willing to be true to that vision, even to speak concerning that vision. And I got news for you. A lot of folks can be very angry, as a lot of folks might be angry at me right now. But quite frankly, they've been taught by institutions that told them that they already had the vision. I hear them talk all the time. Oh, yeah, these people have already been taught. I can cite thousands upon thousands of things, even tens of multitudes of scriptures about certain things that I could talk about on this show right now that they've never heard. But the scripture says the election and choice of the Most High is unto understanding. And many thinking they have understanding been told by institutions seeking to sedate their minds, told that they're among the elect, and they already have this great understanding. They'll be very angry, or have been very angry if somebody tells them, say, look, after another vision, you might have been, maybe Most High has sought to call and show you beyond the mass illusions that exist in this world. But let me tell you something, it's those who are true to the call that will be ultimately chosen in these last days to survive. What is going to be a great trial to discern what indeed are the thoughts and intents of every human soul. Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commands. Trust me, that was not what was common among the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Zealots, and Essenes after their partial perspective, knowing many times what was said, but not knowing why. You read Micaiah, they call it Matthew in the 23rd chapter, you will find that Messiah said, whatever they tell you to do, do it, but not as they do it, because you have one master. And it talks about, if you read out Micaiah 23rd, it talks about how apparently the leaders didn't even understand why they were doing what they were doing, because there are a lot of things they did just to, let's just say, pad their own pockets. They weren't concerned about the people being unified in the mind of God. And I will tell you now that the book of Ephesians in the 3rd chapter tells us plainly, and whoever will be an apostle or prophet, Most High calls them as an apostle or prophet, is called unto one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one purging beyond all worldly misconceits, one fullness of knowledge, even unto the unity in the faith, all believing the same thing, one understanding. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:10. 3rd chapter of Ephesians echoes the same. It even says we must come to the full measure and stature of Messiah. That means one understanding, not alienated, far from the truth, as are the nations. What? What about Ephesians 3:1-6 that says plainly that talk about those who would be converted must become co-partakers with Israel. According to what it says in the 2nd chapter, the knowledge of the commonwealth and customs of Israel according to the covenant promises. Well, guess what? Today a lot of folks think the covenant of promises is just that the Most High is going to call true to himself and his name. Whoever just believes that they are owed something and not realizing that they owe something first to Yah. Because understand, no one is part of a covenant that he does not know. Ah, oh, my brothers and sisters. It says there's no peace to the lawless in Isaiah 48:22, 57th chapter of Isaiah, no peace to the lawless. Yeah. 57th chapter of Isaiah. No peace to the lawless means no peace to those who seek less than all that is lawful before Yah. From the beginning, the Most High declared a word and a promise. And all things that would have life must conform to that initial vision. No less is acceptable. And I will tell you again that the entire religious industry today, in all its diversities, is based upon people not discerning what the scripture calls the mystery of Yah. What does it say? Blindness in part has befallen Israel to the time of the Gentiles, the time of all this confusion comes to an end. What? Folks oftentimes ask, why is the world so diverse in its opposing beliefs today? Got news for you. The scripture says that the Most High, because people wouldn't listen to him, hid his face. Did you hear me? I want to talk to you about Isaiah 59. The people, because the people would not listen to him and preferred iniquity, even inequity, injustice. He hid his face. It's like he didn't even want to look at. But people wouldn't listen to him and wanted to believe, nevertheless, that their leaders, that they can know the Most High through a multitude of diverse opposing leaders. That is totally impossible. But this is what people wanted to believe. Well, that hypocrisy, my brothers and sisters, is actually a damnable offense. You need to know that. Let's look real quick there, because I've been trying a lot of times on Clubhouse to get these scriptures read so people could give some consideration of what it says relative to what's said in Romans 11:25 through 27 through Romans 12 and 2, talking about the need for a renewing of the mind. I mean, how about the mind made true to Yah as it should be beyond all the various variant oppositions and contentions of man? This is hard word that the prophets knew and the apostles knew concerning what is the condition of our people today. And I complement these words also with Isaiah 42 that says Messiah must, for people who never knew the gospel. Isaiah 41:21, according to the people they chose. Abominational of people that they chose to lead them. Sound like fatal flatteries to me. Never preach the gospel because they all preaching a variant word after their own allegiances. That's not the whole good, sure message. Well, the scripture says in Isaiah 42:16, that the Most High saw there was none to restore. He must magnify the law and make it honorable. That means teach the wise and the wherefores, the ins and outs of the law, that men might honor the Most High as he is. Honor the Most High as he is. You say make it honorable, that means true to what is full respect for Yah as he is. I didn't say as he is not. I didn't say anything added or taken away. Revelation 22:16 talks about Messiah, and it says whoever would add to his word or take away adds damnation to his soul and takes away his eternal life. He's called the written offspring of David and the bright morning star. Why is it that your church has never told you what that's about? Even though it says it must be a testimony in all the churches, why did they hide that from you? Why is it? Listen to me closely, y'all. Why is it that there's not one scripture in the whole Bible, and I ask them to show me even one scripture in the whole Bible that says that your leaders are going to be trustworthy in these last days? Isaiah 56 says to the very last one of them, they're all too greedy. Even understand, to see, let alone understand, to speak the truth. Let's look at Isaiah 59. Time goes by quickly. But let's look at something real quick. Isaiah 59. It said, behold, Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, he's talking about if you want to pray to him, look here. He has the power to deliver. But look at this next verse. Listen to the next verse. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel. Iniquities. How about injustices, misconceits, perceptions you never heard from him? And I think it's a shame that so many are willing to speak what from above they never heard. But the Most High has never ratified or explained, therefore willing to confuse the masses. Divide the masses. Confuse the masses. Mislead the masses. After what was never the real meaning of the scriptures in the first place. Second Peter 3:14-18, talking about how they corrupt the meaning of the scriptures unto the destruction of many. Wicked, ignorant, and unstable. It calls them those who lawless, don't have a proper foundation, and are willing to accept something less than an absolute. Only unto the destruction of the masses. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, how about all the misconceits men have wanted to believe, have set up a separation between you and your Holy One. and your sins, how about all the misconceits people have wanted to believe, have hid his face from that he will not hear. Isaiah 8th chapter, for instance, talks about the same thing. Hid his face. If he hides his face and hides the vision of who he is, shall man know him? He talks about in Deuteronomy 31, 17 through 18, that if man will not obey, the Most High will hide his face. That means that he will show himself to those who prove consistent in his will. Isaiah 59 and 3, your hands are defiled with blood. He's talking about his people, his own people. He's talking about not only his people, but the whole world today. Your hands are defiled with blood. Unjust murder, oppression is what this also talks about. Unjust contentions have become the works of men's hands and even as an emanation of their thoughts. Hard word. Your fingers fire with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. Oh, but they want to tell you everything's all right. Tell you there's peace where there is no peace. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief. Mischief. False rule. And bring forth iniquity, uncleanness, pollutions against the pure will of Yah. Inequity, then, my brothers and sisters, injustice. Hatch cockatrice's eggs. Cockatrice. It means an adder, a snake, a viper. They hatch a double-tongued viper's eggs. Contradictions. Contradictions. Contraverses. Double-tongued oppositions. Pretenses against the pure truth. To mislead the people. They weave spider's webs. What's spider's web? They set up a web that oftentimes in the wild things don't see so they can catch them, so they can hold them there to the time they won't come to devour. And he that eateth of their eggs will die. And that which is crushed, if they crush one of those eggs, it breaks out into a viper. Wow, investigate it closely. What is it really? Their webs should not become garments. You imagine a spider's web covering your nakedness? Well, also, I want you to understand something. In ancient mind, garments oftentimes gave people an idea where you came from. Who were your people? What tribe you were from? What were your orientations? Messiah talks about being covered with the garments of righteousness. My question, my brothers and sisters, what is it that covers or shows you're wise just beyond carnal opinion? Their webs, what they spin, what they contrive, ideas, and they should not cover themselves with their works, their thoughts. The works are works of iniquity. Iniquity, iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. In other words, everybody declaring very impartial standards, the multitude of contentions against the pure, perfect will of the One, and the end result is people having such great pride and misconceits, oftentimes arguing against one another about who's greatest. And the truth of the matter, if they're all, like Isaiah 45 says, potsherds arguing with potsherds, pieces of a pot useless, can't even take anything from a cistern or water from a cistern or hold anything, a broken pot. And in ancient Israel, when they talk about a broken pot, you broke a clay pot, because once it became scored and became corrupt, if you preserve that pot and people ate of it, they would get sick. Well, we're talking potsherds, broken potsherds, and wouldn't be washed, arguing with other potsherds. My brothers and sisters, if all for a long time have not known the way of truth, shall the Most High be pleased with this? Oh, I wish I had time on this show to talk to you about what Isaiah 44, 45 has to say. But I will tell you now, please, examine what's on my website at hiddengospel.com, Early Church Origin, and Forgotten Expectation, hiddengospel.com, prophetic proof, hiddengospel.com, the Secret City Prophecies, and what's that really about. It'll tell you how Messiah must appear. And trust me, it's not the story that most have heard. Isaiah 59, Their feet, Isaiah 59:7, their feet run to evil. That means, hey, oftentimes the pastor is just trying to find something they can sell you, something to comfort men in their vanities and their fallen standards that cannot please Yah, but seem wise to men. What about Proverbs 14:12, 16:25, where it says there are ways, many ways that seem right unto men, but the end thereof is not life. Wages of sin is death. How about the ways of an errant thought or ideal that confuses men against the will of Yah? It's not life, my brothers and sisters. It's not harmony unto the kingdom of Yah. It says their feet run to do evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. The thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction in their paths. And the way of peace they know not. Isaiah 42. You see, I will have to lead them by the way they knew not. How about the way of peace? Reconciliation true unto the Most High. The way of peace they know not. There's no judgment, discretion in their goings. Oh, they just go whichever way that seems the wind blows or whatever seems like a popular fad in society today. That is not stability before the Most High. They made themselves for themselves crooked paths. Before whom does the scripture say in Isaiah 44 that he would make his crooked places straight, a crooked path straight before him? Oh, there's a need to go back and examine that article on my website, hiddengospel.com, early church origin, the forgotten expectation, prophetic proof, which is replicated also in Luke. And it speaks concerning Messiah, but there's a need to understand who ancient Israel knew Messiah to be. And that is another shocker, because quite frankly, many are walking around here today talking about they know the Most High and don't even know who ancient Israel knew the Messiah to be. Another shocker, I know, but nevertheless the case. Isaiah 59:9, for therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait. Let the Holy Spirit brightness but walk in darkness. And so you think they walk around and they see what they see, and they see all that needs to be seen. They still see an illusion. Nations of men not created to fulfill or bring fully to bear the will of Yah. My brothers and sisters, oftentimes obstacles blind in the mind against discerning the thoughts and what is perfect. This is ridiculous when that which is perfect is come, or when he that is perfect is come. All these partial standards and allegiances must pass away. We walk around like the blind, grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble in new days, in the noonday as in the night. We are in desert places as dead men. And we roar like bears, prideful. But we found the truth. We mourn sore like doves. We look for justice, judgment. Hey, how about justice according to what all is true? But there is none. The leaders are not telling you everything you need to know, people. Salvation. Look at this. It says, for salvation is far from us, and our transgressions are multiplied before Yah, and our sins testify against us. Sins testify against us. Misconceits testify that, hey, we've been such a fallen conscience that we might not believe the truth that was offered. That's why iniquity is, that's what men know. Transgressing and lying against the Most High himself, 59:13. Departing away from our Holy One, speaking oppression, all kind of varying ideas. Like I said, if it's for every foolish word, a deceptive word, idle, stagnating word a man speaks, Micaiah 12:36, you should give account for it in the judgment. Then I would tell people right now, be very careful, boy, what you say and what you speak. For the Most High will hold you accountable if it deceives or leaves confused even one soul. I pray, my brothers and sisters, according to Isaiah 28, people will seek the foundation necessary to understand what I'm talking about here. Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away. Justice, what is true, be true unto the Most High, what is fair before the Most High. Oh, it's turned away backward. And justice stands afar off, but truth is fallen, hidden in the street. In other words, Quite frankly, most folks don't want to hear it if it means they have to change their ways, and the ways they have to change unto are not what is common to man. Equity cannot enter. There's a whole lot of truth is written in your Bibles, people, that your leaders don't want ever spoken. I had pastors point blank tell me that scriptures like Isaiah 60 and 12, they don't talk about that in their church. I say, what kind of church you got? They don't even know what definition ancient what a church is. It's supposed to be a place where the truth is preserved, safe, held in its integrity, according to the title that Messiah himself was given. Another concept, my brothers and sisters, most have no idea about. Early church origin, forgotten expectation, hiddengospel.com. Check out the article. Yea, truth fails, hid. He that departed from evil maketh himself a prey, because society does not want to hear, stand it beyond itself. And the Most High saw it and displeased him that there was no justice. Heaven help us, most willing to comply with social abominations, abnormalities. Along with it, to get along. I'll tell you now, my brothers and sisters, the friends of Yah must uphold something far greater. They saw there was no man and wondered there was no intercessor. Now, the scripture says for a long time, no intercessor. That means and the intercessor is also related as pastors or ministers. And ministers are supposed to heal the people and reconcile them unto the mind of one. That means for a long time, my brothers and sisters, like it said also in Hosea, there was none who were justified to wear an effort. That's a hard word, my brothers and sisters. And I tell you why. Because for a long time, most I knew it. Think about it in 2 Thessalonians. He said the mysteries of iniquity were already at work. People are already less than conscious of all that is their error. And the vast majority of people were in this condition. And the vast majority also willing to comply with the erring ideas of man. All prophecy, my brothers and sisters, relates to these contentions and these misconceits, and all this false doctrine will continue until Messiah returns. But I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, one way to get past false doctrine, to ask the Most High for the spirit by which you can see clearly that which he has declared, not ignoring what he has spoken in any way, form, or fashion, but asking that he order your mind to comprehend these things rightly. But the Most High saw that there was no man, one that was no intercessor, no one to heal the people according to his pure word of truth, his pure vision. Therefore, his arm, one he trusted, brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. In other words, Isaiah 50 speaks about someone that the scripture says, morning by morning, the Most High causes these to hear the teaching. He would not turn back the rebellious way, that he would know how to declare a word to those who have become indiscriminate. The question I ask my brothers and sisters, who shall believe in him? He said, those who believe in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. That is not those who would believe in others whose doctrine he must reprove. Like I said, Messiah says that in his appearing, he said in his appearing, that the rulerships of this world were evil. Isaiah 59, Isaiah 34. Talks about the nation seeking to come against him who would teach and show the people again the truth. Isaiah 35, talking about him who opens again the eyes to see beyond the illusions of man. Psalm 2, the kings of the earth have all taken counsel against. How about the greater truth you will see, the vision you will see, the anointed one will see as revealed by through the Most High, through his anointed. Psalm 118, the stone which the builders rejected become the chief stone of the corner. Telling you that your leaders have rejected the greater truths. They're going to sell you something. Revelation 18 says the time will come when no man will buy their treacherous merchandise anymore. Talk about this Babylonish confusion that's in the society we see today. Well, in order to help people see beyond the illusion, they have to first recognize the illusions exist. And then you start examining, see what were those illusions and what was the truth we were always intended to see. Trust me when I tell you, it's two entirely different things. It says Messiah will not judge after what his eyes see. Now judge after the constructs of men, but by the Spirit shall he judge and discern. How about have insight to understand the whys and wherefores of all things? And with the breath of the Spirit of his lips, testimony of his mouth, shall he expose, slay every fallen standard that there might be peace. Well, how many of us want, my brothers and sisters, that vision? And if granted the opportunity to attain it, would be true to it. Big question. I'm just setting up an orientation here, my brothers and sisters, because Isaiah 41:21 talks about how the rulers, the people that men have elected, have never preached the gospel, never preached the word from the high place and high point of vision and perspective that is the Most High. Hey, they're so busy after their varying allegiance and lands they want to rule over, dividing men against the Maker, dividing the world against the Maker. They can't preach that word of peace that's beyond them all. They can't preach conversion unto the higher vision of the Most High that's beyond these all. My brothers and sisters, why don't your leaders tell you that the only way the world is going to come into the will of one, as men are going to have to transcend all the blindness, all the misconceits, all the misallegiances that this world has spoken. I want you to think about it. Who is it that preserves all these varying misleadings? 47,000 denominations, people claiming they read this book, all having different ideologies. Why? All have different ideologies, my brothers and sisters, because they either have not sought the fullness of the vision or just simply have not seen it at all. In Colossians, it says, I'm desirous you to know the mystery of Yah, the full assurance of the mystery. It tells you to watch out for the principalities and powers. It tells you to watch out for those who speak about what they have not seen. Puffed up in their minds with their vanities, like a puffed up cake full of, I'm going to put it that way, full of air. It's not all material. It says you may complete ultimately in Messiah. And I say you may complete unto the truth in them and the rulers of this earth. Like I said, the law of sin and death is the misrule of your rulers who after their contentions have only created adversary or rebelliousness against the pure vision the Most High declared from the beginning. And somebody asked the question, how is this curse going to be overcome? Well, at least if you know that Most High intends something far greater than what you see, you have a chance. But some people, I heard some people not even wanting to speak fully about what is the per se election of the Most High. What I would tell you is that in the commandments it is written that Most High will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them who, how about this, rebel, would hate, would not see his word rightly. Now people sit back and say, wait a minute, hold on. That means people are going to pass down these lies and continue until something breaks the curse? Well, that's what the election is about. From the time that man fell away, the Most High had already had a plan that there would be some that he would open their eyes to see the truth, that those who would believe, those elect souls, from the prophets who came along to declare truth that oftentimes reproved both the priests and the kings in Israel, sent forth prophets with a greater sense of vision, questions who would believe them. Isaiah 52 speaks about Messiah having a greater vision than what is common to man. And kings should shut their mouths, rulers should shut their mouths in shame because of him. But that which they had not considered, they should be made to consider. But the question is, who's going to believe his report? Isaiah 53:1. Big question. How many of my brothers and sisters understand that the election is actually the Most High granted opportunity for understanding? The question is, my brothers and sisters, how many will act rightly? It says it come to pass in the last days. After a long time, what is called the years of the locusts, them who after the confusion of their minds will seek to deprive anything from coming to maturity before Yah. And if it's going to pass in the last days, that all call upon the name of the Most High. Respond then to the call of the Most High. Shall be saved and still remnant whom the Most High has called. And how about those who would respond rightly? But for a long time, people have called upon names and titles. Does that mean they've been true unto Yah as he is? Like I say, this is a society that wants to call the grace of Yah lawlessness, the gift of Yah lawlessness, the mercy of Yah lawlessness. Let me tell you something. When Scripture says Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. What it really means is that the Most High, in his mercy, my brothers and sisters, and reveal the way of righteousness that men not have to perish. Because every way of unrighteousness shall indeed perish. It's time to understand the real. So those scriptures are saying that for a long time, this world will be blind to the way of truth, becoming more and more depraved through the course of time. And when Messiah reveals the greater way, it shall be discerned who wants the truth and who does not. Isaiah 26 and 7 says that those who have been diligent in the night seeking him will come to some understanding, but not everyone would. And those who come to understanding, Isaiah 26, 12 through 13, will have to say one day that other lords have had dominion over them, but now they will make mention of and give an oath only according to the true name and will of him whom the Most High has sent. And that for a long time, my brothers and sisters, there was none prepared for the kingdom of Yah. Why don't your leaders tell you that? My brothers and sisters, the Most High told me these words are precious, but only for the most humble and diligent soul. Every soul should pray to the Most High that when the time comes to see the truth, that they're able to respond wisely to it. But it's only, my brothers and sisters, of those who approve most humbly diligent to know and speak what is wise. The mystery of Yah, according to those scriptures, my brothers and sisters, at Romans, is saying exactly what I've told you. That for a long time, because of the hard-heartedness of man, men unwilling to listen when the truth was offered to them. Rome murdered some say 60 million over the course of a few centuries. I one time started to calculate that out. Something like 400-500 people slaughtered per day after what Rome did when they destroyed Jerusalem. The Flavian House began to build a multitude of stadiums, kind of like that thing they call the Flavian Amphitheater. If you've seen that old Bruce Lee movie, Return of the Dragon, you know the place I'm talking about. Well, Rome actually built some 20-plus of those, especially in the East, where they sought to have dominion. It was all about sport. Hunting down to destroy believers for entertainment, my brothers and sisters, throughout the empire, wherever men would not conform to the ideals of Rome. Hey, men and women, my brothers and sisters, compelled to fight lions and tigers and bears. Men torn apart by horses where they were tethered, chained, hand and foot, where the people had to cheer for the things that were done to the believers, to find out who had allegiance to Rome or not. I want you to understand something. Rome, history admits that per se what they want to call Christianity was not legal in Rome. And I'll tell you now that early believers were not called Christians. They were not Christos, polytheist Christos, after all the variant contentious gods of Greece and Rome. Messiah was never a Christ. But they wanted to tell you that they called them Christians. Check my website and understand why they were called Kershania, those who awaited the coming of one who comes suddenly like the rising sun, the third T, to cast out all the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure, and to expose all those who hide the truth from you. And I do a little digging, people, to understand. Rome even set up those coliseums, circuses they called them, forced people to have to eat pork, and curse the name of Messiah, praise the name of their pagan god Diana, also called Artemis. Let them be thrown in with the rest of the believers. And this continued for centuries, my brothers and sisters, till Constantine, a pagan sun worshiper, said, I am a Christian. Said he believed in the Messiah, but he was a pagan sun worshiper and struck a coin even during the time, in the very year that he said he was a Christian, he also said, I'm the son of the invincible pagan sun god. Well, he didn't say pagan, but you get my point. Saying such things before he died as I pray that whatever God be God, that he will grant him favor because he's granted him worship. And Constantine said his kingdom. Very arrogant man, my brother and sister, who never knew Yah in the first place. Establishing what is called a Roman Empire's church. A pagan empire's church. Not a church, my brother and sister, but a world institution that has passed on nothing but corrupt world, and it's not true to holiness. Even till now. And the institutions of man that fell away from the truth, or man falling away from the truth, has not been healed to the restoration of what was the ancient vision of the early believers. And I will say again to you, my brothers and sisters, you need to ask the question, why there's not a single verse in the whole Bible that talks about how your leaders will be anything else but corrupt and treacherous, blind men, or indiligent men that only fall after the folly of this world. Why is that? There is a reason, my brothers and sisters. The Most I would have you, if you think about it, look for something far more. There's no hope for absolution, no covenant, no faithfulness unto one after any of the pluralist polytheist concepts of deity that this world wants to call trusted or trustworthy. I repeat, a multitude of varying ideals cannot be true to the will of one. The scripture talks about the idea we must all come to reason together in Isaiah 1:10. We must all come to reason together after the will of one. I didn't say after everybody's varying ideas. But if a multitude of people come together and none of them takes into consideration all that needs to be said, you again have only a snare. When the scripture Messiah comes, he's going to also say to people just what's written in Isaiah 1:18:20. Come, let us reason together. Let the world come to reason together true to him, true to all that he revealed the world would not. I said, if we do this, we can overcome all these varying misideals. But if not, he said, men will be cut off by the sword. The Most High has spoken it, promised it, agreed that it must be. Eradicating the negative, that only the positive remain. That's the only hope for peace. Why didn't they tell you this? Why didn't they tell you this when it says not under the law but under grace? It means not under the folly of man, because the Most High, by his grace, by his favor, because you believe that there's a need to be true to one, he revealed something much more. There's a lot of folks who'd rather pay fatal flatterers buy one-way tickets to hell, to Sheol, to the grave, after which you never rise again unto anything honorable, because they did not see and ask God to reveal to them. Seeing the confusion of this world, did not ask the Most God to reveal to them what is wiser than all the varying ideas of men that he already said would be treacherous against knowing of his truth. I would pray, my brothers and sisters, that we don't blaspheme or disrespect the Holy Spirit that would teach us all things. Asking that we can know far more common to those who have been less than diligent, those who would twist the words to influence others. I had leaders on oftentimes tell me, say, what you're talking about is too pure. You can't bring about a political regime after that. Well, I'm not talking about a political regime. I'm talking about something truly young. You listen to the voice of a man, I'm telling you now, has seen what the scripture calls the third heaven, where the Father and his angels reside. And I can only tell you, their thought forms, my brothers and sisters, are not like what you hear from people seeking to bring forth camaraderies and allegiances after a multitude of opposing ideals. Because they know that such a thing cannot be allowed where they are. Woe on those, my brothers and sisters. Woe, woe, woe. On those who want to sit back and say the Most High does not have a higher vision than the oppositions of man. He does. Trust me, my brothers and sisters. He does. There's something the scriptures call Rishon V'Acharon, the first and the last. What the Most High declared from the beginning is surely eternal. He does not change. Any other path is off the path. But there are those who would prefer not to understand that. They prefer to believe that if they don't listen, that, you know, the Most High has to do something different. They would even try to be like, you know, the adversary was when Messiah was tempted on the mount. Telling him that telling Messiah that if he bowed before a devil, he would give him all the world. Well, I want you to understand what that's about. And Messiah already knew that one day he would inherit the world, and he would never want it after such corrupt misideals. And it was like the devil was trying to hold up a gambit. Okay, if you bow before me, was that demon was saying, hey, I let you talk to my people. Well, there's a lot of folks, because I don't play that felonious game. Knowing that the Most High, whoever he calls, no man has a right to try to stand against that awakening. No man has a right to shut down a mind. No man has a right after his own avarice to halt men being converted, wherever they might be, to hear the will of one. Play games, my brothers and sisters, like that. By no means. Because when you play a game, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose, and the game is meant to catch the players. You need to ask the question, who created that game? Why can't things work together? You should be wiser than that. Far wiser than that. I'll say this, and I've just got a short time left, it appears, at least on Blog Talk. But I need to talk to you about something that's written in Isaiah 19 called the drying up of the rivers. What are they? Scripture talks about before whom some of the Most High would dry up the rivers. What's that talking about? I try to get through this as much as I can. I only got a few minutes. But Isaiah 19 talks about rivers as if they were obstacles against people walking together. We reconcile truth to the will of one. Before whom did Most High say that he would smite the rivers and the seven streams that men might walk across a dry shod? I'm talking about Isaiah 11. Who was he talking about in Isaiah 44 before he said he would dry up the rivers and show the rulers foolish? What are the rivers? Who was he talking about when it said in Revelation 16 and 12, it said he would dry up the rivers to make the way for the king of the east? I said king. I said singular. Didn't I say plural? That's the one the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 40. That the Most High will subdue all nations before him. And all the conditions to subdue all nations before him, that men might know again the way of peace. In Isaiah 40. I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. The one they're talking about must be the Savior. They didn't talk to you about that in so many of your churches. Rome didn't want people to understand that the people who had the ancient monotheist belief against whom they came against to destroy, actually, my brothers and sisters, were the people who would show the world the true way of peace. Crazy, insane concept of a savior among the heathen. They called a soter, somebody who would preserve a good relationship with all the heathen gods of the polytheist nations, gods who fought against one another. And what does that do to your mind when you think Your concept of deity is contentiously corrupt. A soter, my brother says, they call it a savior. They didn't have a concept of one functioning after this pure spirit of one because they were polytheist people and didn't have the concept of one, truth of the will, of one absolute maker, Lord, creator. Well, so they want to tell you that the savior upholds all the varying ideas of the nation, that you will never know him as he is, causing you to trust what the scripture calls in Revelation 13, someone having horns like a lamb but speaks as a dragon. Seems to be as the Messiah, but speaking the contentious rebellion of a whole world against the Savior. Wow. What was we talking about the drying up of the rivers? It looks like I have very little time, and those who are not here, on Blog Talk might not hear this, but I'm going to tell you. Who are the rivers? It's whoever it is, Jew or Gentile, my brothers and sisters, that would blind the people, misdirect the people, that they don't discern fully. I say that they don't discern fully what is the way of righteousness. Who are the wicked, my brothers and sisters? Whoever would declare a standard less than fullness the Most High desires. My brothers and sisters, the scripture calls the wicked. All those who so choose to preserve fallen standards, they cannot be true to the will of one. All my brothers and sisters, for those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio, not on Clubhouse. We are trying to continue a lot of this. Hey, try to tune in on the Clubhouse app. It's on Android, iPhone, Club Deck for PC. Well, I continue to speak about these things. Because until we know these things, my brothers and sisters, men are easily trapped by those who have no intention to eradicate the lie, that you might know the truth. For those on Blog Talk Radio, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. And until we speak again, this has been Eddie Meow of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Unto the Most High, his might, majesty, sovereign, honor, glory, praise forever. Let it be. I'm going to put on a little bit of music here, and let's see what I can do. And I'm going to come back to those of you who are at on Clubhouse.
Started.